Shall we pray? Lord, I pray that the same Holy Spirit who inspired these words would speak to us anew. Teach us what we need to know, Lord. Show us what we need to see. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. When I try to describe where I live to my British friends, I usually just throw up my hands and I say, I live in heaven. It's impossible to describe to them what it's like on a day like today, when I stepped out of my house on this late spring morning into this crystal blue sky and the cool, clean, fresh air, and I walked down into my beautiful little lobster village with the boats in the harbor and hearing German accents and Spanish accents and realizing that people literally come from all over the world to visit my little corner of heaven. But this week I felt like I was living in hell. Not in Little Rockport, but here, in this country, in this world in which we live. If you're like me, you keep up with the news. I keep up with the news all the time. Ever since I was a small child, there were six children in my family, and we sat around and ate dinner every night together, all eight of us, as a family, and we discussed current events. And we had a lot of different opinions around that table, let me tell you. And poor Debbie, the first time she came to visit, before we got married, she had her first family meal with the Barnes family, and afterwards she said, "Is it always so loud?" We, of course, didn't know that we were being loud. We were just expressing our opinions. But I was taught at an early age, pay attention to the news. Moody famously said, every good pastor preaches with a Bible in one hand and a newspaper in the other. When I read the news this week, I thought it was a good week for the devil. It was a good week for the devil. I hate to say this, but the Russians are winning the war in eastern Ukraine. And the world is becoming a much more dangerous place. I remember the Cold War well. Some of you do too. The thought of the West actually being engaged in a military conflict with Russia was unthinkable. But it's happening as we speak. And we have a new Cold War, by the way, now with China. Oh, and guess what? There's a new international arms race with hyperspeed weapons. The world is more dangerous today than it has been in a very long time. It was a good week for the devil. Then, of course, there was the news of the Southern Baptist Convention. How, just like the Roman Catholic Church, for years there was corruption and sexual abuse, and then a systematic cover-up of that abuse across the denomination. The largest Protestant denomination in America, the second largest denomination in America, after the Roman Catholic Church. And they both did the same thing. After their sin was exposed, they tried to cover it up. And just this week, they released a 205-page list of the names of accused pastors that they didn't share with the denomination at large. They were too worried about lawsuits. And then they had the audacity to denigrate the women who came forward. Folks, the whole church suffers when something like this happens. How can we as Christians claim to have any moral authority at all when it comes to sexual ethics and any number of things that we want to talk about when our leaders fail so spectacularly. It was a good week for the devil. And then, of course, there was the unthinkable, unspeakable, but all too common sight of little children being shot to death in the sanctuary of their own elementary school. 19 children and 2 brave teachers. And our so-called political leaders refuse to even acknowledge the fact that there might be a problem with having 400 million guns in the country. 400 million guns. The problem, they say, is mental health. Well, I've got news for you. I've lived on 3 continents. We have no more mental health issues than any other country, but no other country has this problem. The difference? 400 million guns. That's the difference. You know, it's easier for an 18-year-old in this country to buy an AR-15 than it is to buy a pack of cigarettes or a glass of beer at the pub. It's easier to buy an AR-15 in this country than a pack of cigarettes. You know, I drive a car. I assume all of you drive cars. You know, before I was allowed to drive a car, I had to take a written test. I had to take a field test. I had to take a safety course. My car has to be registered. I have to be licensed. That car is inspected. It's taxed. And by the way, that process keeps renewing all the time. Why? Because cars are dangerous things. But the telos of a car is transportation. And yet we still put these restrictions on the ownership and the use of cars. Why? Because they are dangerous things. The telos of a gun is to kill. And we don't apply the same reasonable safety standards that we apply to our modes of transportation? Are we insane? If you want to teach Sunday school, by the way, or coach Little League, or even drive an Uber, you have to go through a background check. Did you know that? I've been through it many times because I'm always in contact with children. And yet, it is perfectly legal for a person in this country to go to a gun show and purchase an AR-15 on the spot with no background check. That is the law of the land. I don't know if something called collective mental illness exists or not. There is a lot of academic literature on both sides of the argument, but I will say this. In my humble opinion, any nation that tolerates 400 million guns and the assassination of their children in school is a sick nation. I'm sorry, but I believe that with all my heart. It was a good week for the devil. It's Memorial Day weekend, of course. I drove from Rockport here today. I drove by the boardwalk. It was so beautiful. The flowers and the flags and the blue sky and the boats. And it was just so beautiful. But by the same token, I have to be honest, there's something just a little bit perverse about what this holiday has become. When I was small, it was called Decoration Day. Some of you may remember that. And it was because the widows of fallen soldiers decorated the graves of the ones they lost in battle. It goes all the way back to the Civil War. It was a sad and a somber occasion. Sometimes I feel like it's just another excuse to drink beer and eat hot dogs now. Is it really a proper memorial to those who gave their lives in defense of this country? You know, it's funny. Years ago, I went to Israel, and I visited a cemetery that overlooks the old city. And on tops of the headstones, I saw a lot of small stones, about this size, on top of all the headstones. And so I asked my tour guide, I said, what's the deal with those little stones? And she said, those are remembrance stones. Because you see, flowers fade. Flowers dry up. Flowers get blown away in the wind. But there's something about a stone that says, I was here. I haven't forgotten. I still remember. And nothing's going to blow that stone away. I wonder if a year from now, a month from now, a week from now, when the headlines are something else, if we're going to remember those 19 kids and those two teachers. I'd like this congregation, just for a moment, to join me in remembrance. It was a good week for the devil. But here's the thing. Remembering is really important. Remembering is really important. As you've probably guessed, for most of this week, I felt like the psalmist. Surrounded by evil, surrounded by violence, surrounded by wickedness, thinking maybe the bad guys win. But then I remembered. Praise God, I remembered. I remembered God's promise from Revelation 21. I remembered that a new dawn is coming. I remembered that the old things will pass away. I remembered that the church in all its human frailty, all of its fallibility, is still going to be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be made clean and be the bridegroom of Christ. I remembered that promise today. I remembered that Emmanuel, God with us, wasn't just an event that happened 2,000 years ago. It's a reality that will always be with us. There will be a new heaven. There will be a new earth. And God will be with us. That is the promise. The scripture says it's trustworthy and true. In fact, the scripture says that God himself will wipe away the tears. The other day I was playing with my grandson and he was rolling down a hill and he bumped his head and he started to cry. What did he do? He ran right for his father. His father swooped him up. Wiped away the tears. Oh, that's going to be God. I have to believe that. I have to believe that. Because it says it's trustworthy and true. And we will drink from the waters of life. I also remembered from that scripture that there's going to be a day of reckoning. Yeah, the devil may have had a good week, but his time is coming up. His time is coming up. His days are numbered. And that's why I'm able to face every single day of this existence of already but not yet that we live in. There are times we feel like the bad guys are winning, but we know that God ultimately wins. There will be a day of reckoning for those who do evil and for those who give them cover with their lies. And a sad day that will be for those evildoers. But in the meantime, we remember. We remember those who have died this week. We remember those families. We remember what good this country can be. We've seen its potential. But most of all, we remember the promise of God that this will pass. And victory will belong to God. And that gives us hope. Hope to live every day with joy. With this little piece of heaven we live in. Right here. Right now. May that be how we celebrate Memorial Day. This week. Amen.